You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the co-host of this wonderful show. On today's podcast, we'll break down the Pacers' 118-111 loss in their last second preseason to start the second season. You guys like the alliteration there. We'll break down that game. Probably not a ton about just like the game itself, but break down some of the lineups, some of the things that happened in the game that could be an indication heading into the beginning of this new second restart season. And then we'll talk a little bit about some of the moments coming up this week in terms of player decisions with obviously Victor Oladipo and possibly Sabonis that could affect the Pacers going forward. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by a sponsor who we've had before and bringing back, and we'd love to have him back, and that's MyBookie. If you've been waiting since March for this one and only thing, and that is MyBookie. MyBookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped in one. That's all you need to know, and all you need to hear right now is that you can start betting today. MyBookie is back up with minute-to-minute odds on your favorite teams to start Major League Baseball around starting, I think it started 3 days ago, hopefully it continues. There's never a better time to start playing. With MyBookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking for ways towards the future. And in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football just around the corner. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today, and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%, plus toss in a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. All right, so the Pacers lose to the Spurs 118-111 in a game that ruins the Pacers' opportunity to have a perfect preseason, scrimmage season, whatever you want to call it. Not a huge deal for this Pacer team. The more important thing from this game, and just real quick, so when the season starts, I will go back to doing my normal format for these games, which is kind of an opening recap, then a good, bad, ugly, and then a general topic about the game or the team going forward. But for now, I don't necessarily want to do that just because these games are not that important, and I don't necessarily think the score matters or kind of what the final ending is because you're not getting the normal kind of rotations and whatnot. But I think what is good to talk about from these games is a little bit the good, the bad, and the ugly, and really what they mean going forward. So if you look at it right now, I would say this was, of the three, obviously, probably the worst performance by any by the Pacers. But you still had some positive notes, right? You know, you had Warren, who just didn't take a ton of shots. You had Vic, who just kind of was in another one of his slumps. I mean, you really had the team kind of led in terms of the starters, were led by Aaron Holland, Victor Oladipo, in terms of shots taken, which was kind of odd to me. But and it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out going forward. Aaron Holiday is the one player who stands to benefit the most or what's the right way to put it, get hurt the most by this return, right? He's going to get a lot of minutes. He's going to be in at that hybrid 1-2 spot, probably more like the 2, right? And he's going to be playing with the starters a good chunk of minutes. Now, he may get subbed in for his brother at some point or McDermott at the end of games, things like that. They said they're trying to change it up, how they want to finish a game, because we've seen that before, even before Sabonis got hurt. But Howard has an opportunity here, and he did it when Vic was hurt. When Brogdon was hurt in the kind of late December range, early December range, I think what it was. He's an opportunity here if he can shoot reasonably well from the three, which he hasn't really done yet, and be willing to pass the ball a little more, and you know, find that kind of assistability, which he sort of was coming around to towards the kind of end of the first part of the season, before we hit the break, right? He was, you know, a couple games where I think he had 7 or 10 assists. Like, he was looking a little better, willing to give up the ball more and willing to defer and not willing to just kind of pull up and take the shot. Not seen in the preseason so far, but if he continues to take a ton of shots and, like, you know, in a game where Aaron Holiday took 13 shots and Brogdon took 8, I mean, that's just backwards, or Warren took 6. Now, I think in this game, there was a little more of like a laissez-faire, to maybe already put it, who cares kind of thing, but when you get to the regular season, Holiday's probably shot total should be somewhere in the 8 to 10 range, and he's got to be shooting, I don't know, let's say 8 to 10, 5 from 3, 5 of those with 3, and make 2 threes a game. I mean, if he does that, he's going to continue to play. He's the liability on defense at times, but I do think he's not as much liability as you would think, and simply because they do have the ability to sort of put Brogdon on the three, Warren on the four. They have Turner's backup kind of defense in case Aaron Holiday gets beaten. Aaron Holiday is not terrible at guarding ones, right? I mean, I don't think he's going to anything special, and the problem is there are a lot of really good ones in this league. And so that will be difficult in terms of, I guess in the East, it's not as bad. I mean, depending where Kemba's at, where Lowry's at, that's kind of who, and then the Bledsoes, right? That's kind of the three ones that are, they could face, I guess, at some point in the upcoming playoffs. But he should, if he can shoot well, he should be able to stay on the court. And, you know, tonight he didn't look, or today, I guess, during the day, he didn't look so good. And to me, if he plays like that, you're going to start to see his brother play a lot more minutes over him. And you might see Aaron Holiday at least start to play like more like 15 instead of 20, 25. Because he has the opportunity, if he plays well, to play, I think, 25 to maybe even 30 minutes, because he's their youngest player. He's the least risk of re-injury. He's the player who they're still trying to figure out, right? I mean, I don't think he's certainly not a finished product yet and still has to show something. I mean, at this point right now, if I say right now, would Aaron Holiday re-sign with the Pacers in, I'd say he's got two, it'd be two more years from now? You know, probably, but I don't think it'd be for anything like crazy amount of money, right? I mean, you're looking at, right, is he worth, should he be paid more than TJ Warren? Now, where's the cap at? That's the difference, but like, you know, you're talking about Aaron Holiday not making a ton of money in 2 years the way he's played right now. He has opportunities to play really well in these games to separate himself and kind of push himself to be the sixth man of this team going forward, and possibly even if this really works out, Sabonis becoming a huge part of the rotation and sort of a kind of, I mean, this could be their future starting lineup if they make it at that determination or whatnot or something along these lines. If Holiday can sort of step up, and I'm skeptical of it at the moment. I think we'll see. He's just, to me, he's spotty. I mean, he has really good games, and I almost rather see from him a consistency where he is, like I said, it's like 8 shots a game, 4 of 8 almost every night. 2 of those are threes, 2 of those are twos. He has 10 points, maybe there's a line a couple times, like somewhere in the 8 to 12 point range on 8 shots, and is playing solid defense and has thrown a few assists and kind of rebounds there. And that would be the ideal for him now. Will he do that most every night? We'll see. I think he's probably going to be more erratic than that. We'll probably see a really good couple really good games from him, and a couple really bad ones, and it'll kind of cloud it. And then it'll come down to, does he play well in the playoffs for enough stretches where they can win a playoff series? Like, does he win a couple playoff games and it becomes enough? We'll see. That's a huge question to me. The other thing about this game that I say was more on the encouraging side was the bench continues, man. I mean, this is now, we're now on what? This is 3 games where the bench just continues to be like the highlight, even without Sabonis. I mean, the bench continues just to be really good. I mean, McConnell had 14, McDermott had 13, Sumner had 12, McConnell had 11 assists. I mean, the McConnell, McDermott, and I guess you can call McConnell, McDermott, Justin Holiday, and then through everyone around them, they're going to make it work because those three guys are just really good together. They have some kind of chemistry, something that goes really well. And then you add in Sumner and Jakar, and you get Sumner, who's got a lot of speed and a lot of high energy, which can be useful if he shoots well. He shot okay 4 of 9 tonight, 2 of 5 from 3. If he does that, I mean, he's going to be a valuable player. And he's also kind of the other guy who stands to benefit the most from these games, right? So I believe he's on a 2-year contract, so he's got 1 year for this year. Very minimum deal, like $3 million a year. Really hasn't never really got a consistent chance to play because of injury and whatnot. But he has an opportunity now. I mean, I don't have to be too ethnic, but he has an opportunity right now for 8 straight games or something like that to basically be able to be like a standout player and push himself into the condition of 1 being a rotation player or 2 going for a contract in 2 a year from now, right? You know, there's not going to be a ton of roster changes, but he could push himself to the spot where Jeremy Lamb was and replace Lamb, at least for part next year. We'll see if Lamb returns and whatnot, but there's that possibility. And Sumner has a huge chance to benefit if he can just be, I don't even think he needs to be like that great of a shooter, just like he was today, a 4 of 9, you know, solid defender. I mean, he's got the length to play pretty good defense on the guard spot. I mean, he could definitely, I could see him pushing himself into the 9th spot of the rotation going forward a little bit. And again, with him, it's consistency with him, and you know, staying healthy, I think is kind of the key. We haven't really seen could he remain healthy or whatnot for really an extended period of time. It's been constantly, you know, hand this year, obviously knees in the past. I mean, it just kind of up, you know, consistently just get, he feels like it's hurt. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like every, I would say he's got a 20 game track and then gets hurt. So Holiday and Sumner for sure have a ton of benefit from these upcoming games because I think the team will probably give him more chances too, just because it doesn't, you know, they don't want to play their starters a ton. They don't want to tax those kind of man guys, so they'll only kind of push the, I would call the young guys on the team. I mean, they're not rookies, obviously, but the second, third, fourth year players who are more disposable, I guess, in terms of the team, or they're looking to see, get an evaluation on a little better. So they have a ton of benefit. The other thing I think is going to be huge for this Pacers team, and you tend to see it really the past two games, is kind of Vic's shooting. He's been, tonight he was 4 of 6, 1 of 6 from 3. You know, I'm holding on judgment until he plays in the rest of the season, as if he does. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he has an opportunity, if he can be, I don't know, 45 and 38 or something along those lines, to not need his speed to be just as good as a player or be as good of a threat without that speed. Because he does, you know, I mean, talking about on Monday's podcast a little bit, but his new body type and his, like, I'm talking new in terms of before he became the Pacers, you know, his Thunder body type and his Meta body type is sleeker and allows him to have a more clean shot. He looks a little smoother and just looks better, right? He looks like a better player. Looks like he's better, you know. He just looks better, frankly. Like more like an NBA player. And you know, the thing with him is they put a much better team around him. Even without Sabonis, there's just better scorers. I mean, you know, he's never played the guy who scored like TJ Warren. Brogdon is the best point guard he's played with by far. Like, there's just two guys who you can make a case on some nights just could be a better offensive threat than Vic, right? And then you throw in the possibility Miles Turner could have a good night, but probably won't be better than him most nights. But good, you know, he had nights tonight where he's 7-11 and didn't make a three, but 3 of 5 from the line. I mean, in 10 rebounds. I mean, Turner has a chance to kind of have games like that. Now, I don't think, you know, he seems to, also he's a little bit spotting the offense up and down. But Vic has an opportunity where he's gonna have to be a little more consistent. He's going to have to be willing to defer on nights where he's not shooting well, right? It's not like before where if he didn't shoot well, the team lost, they had no chance. There's opportunities that Vic just can't hit a couple of shots to start. Just go to Warren. Let Warren take shots. I mean, Warren took six shots tonight, I don't think. I mean, I think that was just because of whatever. But, like, there are nights where Warren needs to be taking the most shots in the team. There are nights Vic can, but unless Vic gets hot, he needs to defer to Warren or Brogdon at times, or use his ability that he is a threat of a scorer to create for other guys. Because, I mean, he is a good passer, and that's what he has the opportunity to do. Vic, you know, I don't think Vic's going to have a bunch of 20-point games, but I think he could have a bunch of, you know, mid-teen games with 5 rebounds, 5 assists, which would be pretty good. And add that with Brogdon and Warren, you've got a pretty pretty solid lineup, in my opinion. You know, last thing I'd say about this game, I mean, just take away from it, the Pacers continue to look pretty solid on offense. Now, there's not a lot of defense going on in any of these games, so that's take that with a grain of salt. But they do look like they're ready, right? They don't look like – there's nothing that I've watched, and I'm like, oh, this team just didn't come prepared. Guys are in shape, whatnot. You know, they're dealing with, obviously, with the major injury to Sabonis, and that's going to hurt the team, and that's going to affect them. Obviously, they had Sabonis right now. They'd probably be, you know, I'd be more optimistic about their chances of, you know, winning a playoff series. But they look ready to go, and, you know, if they can win six of eight, I mean, somewhere in that range, they can probably hang on to a 4-5 matchup, and that's the best shot to win a first-round playoff series, which is probably the whole goal, right? I think playing Miami, I mean, I guess unless Philly, but even I think playing Philly or Miami in the first round, they have a better chance of winning than beating Boston. So, and the goal is to win a playoff series, because they haven't done that in, what, 4, 5, 6 years now? I think it's 5, 6 years, right? The last time they won a playoff series was 2013, 2014, I believe. All right, take a quick break, and then I just want to end this podcast by talking about some of the stuff coming up this week. So, I would say that probably the one big news thing to watch this week is, does Vic announce he's going to play, right? Tony and I hitting that on our Monday show, hitting that a bunch, but Vic hasn't officially said he's going to play. Nobody said he's going to play officially. You know, I would be surprised if he didn't. The money factor, that he might still get his money down to play, but he doesn't know for sure. He looks good. He looks healthy. Like, he looks healthy. I mean, you know, obviously he's probably not 100%, but he looks 90 in the 90s. Like, he just looks like he's got a ranger himself. He looks like he has good control. He's, you know, playing at a speed that all the other guys are playing. Like, he doesn't look like, you know, the Vic we saw when he first came back, where he was a little bit, wasn't in conditioning shape compared to other guys. So that's a big thing to watch, is what does he decide if he plays that. Obviously, without Vic, I mean, they have, I would say, a slim chance of winning a playoff series in the first round. With Vic, they have I'd put more at a 40 to 45% chance. Obviously, that's Sabonis and Vic, I put a little above 50. So, and that's not to diminish Sabonis, but I think I do like the way the team looks. I like the way they looked. I think obviously we'll see how 8 games goes, but, like, I do think there's something to them being super small and nimble and being able to, you know, take on some of these, you know, play a different style, which really could kind of throw off. I mean, I think it's Rockets light-esque in a way. And then especially if you can figure out how to stagger Vic and Brogdon, you have a real shot. I think you could really push a team with that kind of lineup, at least in my opinion. The other thing to watch is Sabonis. So I believe it's a 4-day quarantine. Sabonis, I believe, left the bubble last Thursday or Friday range. So he said he'd be reevaluated in a week. So we'll look up for Thursday or Friday to see what is on him. So basically, assume every day that passes is 5 days where he can't play, right? Because it's the 4+ him quarantining, right? So if he doesn't return by mid-August, there's no way he's playing in the playoffs. And I mean mid-August, I'm talking like early to mid, like August 10th range. Season ends, I think, the 14th. But I think he's going to have to play at least one or two games before they get him a shot at actually playing in the playoffs. Right? I don't think he'd bring it in cold. That risks his injury. I mean, it depends on what the chance of re-injuring is. And I don't know how bad the foot injury is. I don't know if it's plantar fasciitis or a bruise or some kind of break or crack or fracture, whatever it is. So I'm just speculating at this point. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Because if he does return, let's say, early August, let's say he comes back by the 4th or 5th, yeah, he could play in the playoffs, and that takes him from being a below, let's say not being a favorite in a playoff series to maybe being a slight favorite in a playoff series, especially if they play pretty well these next eight games and seeing how everybody else plays. But, like I said before, I want to see how this team plays without him, because I think there is something to it, right? I think Sabonis is really good, but I wonder when he is your number, let's say, 2 or 3, because he can't stretch the floor, because he's not a rim protecting center, does he sort of lower your overall ceiling but improve your floor? What I mean by that is, like, with him out there, the guarantee to win in a normal environment, win 45 games during the regular season, but maybe they can't win 55 games, or they can't win 2 playoffs, or they can win 1 with him, right? I mean, it's a similar, I would say, kind of debate or parallel to Rudy Gobert, right? Where Gobert is, no doubt, really good player, top-notch defender, an okay offensive player when you kind of put him in our positions, but the guy can't shoot threes. And so does he make you better in the regular season? You win, 50 games every year, but does he prevent you from being able to win 2 or 3 playoff series in the Jazz instance, because they're obviously a little bit higher ceiling and higher along in their path, the Pacers, right? The Jazz, obviously, I think for the Jazz, if they didn't make the conference finals, it's going to be kind of not a success now with blowing out for the Jazz, who knows. But at least before the season, if they weren't a conference final team, it would be an unsuccessful season for the Jazz. So, I'm interested to see how that works. I mean, I'm interested to see, because I think for a while I've been thinking Turner's the one that kind of is the odd one out of the two, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, Turner played pretty well in today's scrimmage game, and we'll see how he does, in the next 8. I mean, Turner could hit a hot streak. We've seen it before, and if he plays, a solid 20 games in a row with, 15-plus points, it's going to really change the view on him, and really could push him past Sabonis in terms of the Pacers need him. Maybe he's a better fit even than Sabonis with just all the guys they have. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited. Basketball is now, 4 days away of time of listening to this? Maybe 3, depending. I guess it's going to be Saturday, and it's coming on a Wednesday. I believe Tony and I are doing another podcast together this week, so look forward to that one. We'll have some previews of the upcoming 76ers game, I think one of the other days. And then we'll bring you a podcast, hopefully, early Sunday of next week, to, break down the Pacers' first game and, keep talking regular season basketball, which is back from it, hopefully, unlike the MLB, which I assume is, I don't know, as I record this, the Marlins spent their season, but I wonder if we find out more teams do. The NBA has been secure and safe, and hopefully they'll be able to play a full next 3 months, and then we'll see what happens in 3 months because of coronavirus. But that's all I got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us at Locked On Pacers. You can follow me at FreeMadam5, my co-host Tony's at T East NBA. That is all for today's podcast. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.